For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to wish all you fathers a wonderful and blessed Father's Day. We really need godly fathers, just like we need godly mothers. We need godly families that are adhering to the roles that God has given each of us. Fathers, what kind of leader are we in our family? Well, we need good, godly leaders in the Lord's church. And this morning we want to study the question, why do we follow the life of Jacob instead of Esau? And this will bring out a good example of leadership and a bad example of leadership. As we started a study last Lord's Day of what caused the strife between Jacob and Esau, they twin brothers, and we noted the favoritism in the family was wrong. Rebekah favored Jacob. Isaac favored Esau. That caused problems. And certainly Jacob took advantage of his brother when he was hungry. And Esau sold his birthright. Then later Rebekah suggested fooling Isaac because of his poor eyesight. And thus Jacob received the blessing as well. Now, this morning we want to continue our study, and perhaps next Lord's Day as well, as there's a lot to cover here. But we want to note again the question, why do we follow the life of Jacob instead of Esau? And we'll begin that continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, PFE. If we'll think about that every day, keep working at that. No matter what happens, we'll look forward to being together in heaven. That's what it takes, preparing for eternity in our life as we continue each day. Well, we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're going to study God's precious Word. Then as we assemble together to worship God, we're going to strive to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern which God has given us. That would be John 4:24. So that's, again, very important as we worship God in accordance to His will. Now, we are a friendly congregation, so when you come, you can expect to be welcomed with a warm welcome. Something else to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. Your Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, are always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, I'll mention this before we get back to our study. The fair is coming up fast, and we plan to have a booth, Lord willing, and we'll want to talk more about that in the coming Lord's days as it draws nigh. But plan to look for us at the fair is what we want to stress now. Let's get to our study. Why do we follow the life of Jacob instead of Esau? Well, as we study the contrast between these twin brothers, of course, they were born to Isaac and Rebekah. I want to emphasize here, it's a good study for all students of God's Word to make, of course, but especially for elders deacons, gospel preachers, and all prospective leaders in the Lord's church. Because we're going to again see a good example of leadership and a bad example. Now, despite having Abraham as their grandfather, Isaac as their father, Esau and Jacob were very different. Not only in the secular area, as Esau, you know, was the hunter, Jacob the shepherd, but also as types of leaders. So this is going to be an excellent study for us to make. Of course, Esau is an ungodly leader. Jacob, of course, a godly leader. And as you note, you know, as you see these twins reunited here in Genesis 33, well, that was great that they were able to let bygones be bygones. But Jacob, you know, he wrestled with possibly the angel of the Lord. Hosea 12, 3 through 5 suggests that. And it was here that God changed Jacob's name to Israel, Genesis 32:22-32. And we noted that, of course, after they departed, after that reunion in Genesis 33, you'll see that Jacob, he goes to Shechem, a city of Shechem, and erected an altar to God. Verse 20 of chapter 33. Elohi, Israel, means to the God of Israel. But on the other hand, Esau, he goes back to Mount Seir, which would become Edom. And it was also referred to as Seir. You'll see that in the scriptures. Well, let's ask this question. How did Esau feel about his birthright before he sold it? Well, you know, it had become cheapened as Esau said, "What profit shall this birthright do to me?" Genesis 25:32. When Esau sold his birthright for bread and a pottage of lentils, he was not thinking of the future, but only for the moment. That's right. How many people are in that same situation today? His strong desire for food was satisfied in the here and now. But his birthright was lost forever. Let's think about that. Remember, Esau said, "I'm at the point to die." Verse 32, the first part of there in Genesis 25. And we see in Luke 12:19 here with the foolish farmer a very similar statement. He said, the farmer that was foolish, remember him? He said, "Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." Might as well live it up today. You're going to die tomorrow. Esau, might as well sell my birthright. I'm at the point to die. See the similarity? And how many of our brethren, sorry to say, have sold their birthright in the Lord's church for the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection? Luke 8:14. Remember the parable of the soils, representing four different types of hearts. The hard heart doesn't receive the word. But then you had the rocky ground representing the heart, the soul of the man that or woman that's obeying the gospel. But what happens? They have no root. And then comes some persecution and they fall away. The thorny soil was representing the one who obeys the gospel, but then when the cares and riches and pleasures of life choke out the word like the thorns choked out the plant, you see, they become unfaithful. And that's what people are doing in selling their birthright in the Lord's church. For what? For cares, riches, and pleasures which are not lasting? No. That's not going to be carried into eternity, those things, are they? No. We need to put the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Yes, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. But note now Genesis 26, as you see here in verses 34 and 35, Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. This marriage to these women brought grief into the mind of Isaac and to Rebekah. Not only were they pagan, but this is practicing polygamy. He married pagan wives, became a polygamist. What would a spiritual blessing mean to Esau? Since we do not find in the scriptures that Esau ever said anything about God. Now that's revealing. So we can conclude that Esau was not spiritually minded. He was a lustful, impatient, and worldly man. In other words, he was a materialist. So the good qualities that we can appreciate about Esau's character, though, we need to mention this, is that he was willing to forgive his brother Jacob after years of hate had been in his heart, Genesis 33. But also he had a great love and respect for his father Isaac, Genesis 27:41. Now, I want us to note Brother Franklin Camp's book, Principles and Perils of Leadership. This is in my library at home, and it's an outstanding book for men who are elders or future elders in the making, preachers or future preachers in the making as well, and of course deacons, anyone that is wanting to understand better about leadership. This is a good book. Of course, the Bible is the main book, but this book will get you into the Bible because it has excellent examples of bad and good leaders found in God's Word. So that's why I can recommend it. But Esau was given as a bad example, whereas Jacob is given as a very good example. And I want to mention from Brother Franklin Camp's book, pages 99 and 100, here are the main points of why Esau failed as a leader as follows. Number one, his life was undisciplined. That's very clear, isn't it? Number two, Esau was a profane person. And here Brother Camp quotes Hebrews 12:16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Number three, spiritual things were cheap for Esau. That's right. Number four, he was reckless with his opportunities. Think about the opportunities that he had that were squandered. Number five, Esau did not control his passions. Well, I'm about to die. What does this birthright mean to me if I'm going to die? Yes, he did not control his passions in marrying two pagan wives as well. Number six, evil consists in living for oneself, for one's vanity, pride, and pleasure. That sums up Esau's life, doesn't it? Very well. And number seven, Brother Camp has this, leaders must be righteous, and Esau clearly was not. And so as you see in the study of Jacob and Esau, this is obviously the bad example to show young men the pitfalls that must be avoided in life if they expect to become leaders in the Church of Christ. Esau is also a good example for congregations to study to help them avoid selecting the wrong kind of men for the eldership. Of course. So men who have the characteristics and qualities of Esau will always lead the church down the road to heartaches and to trouble. No doubt about that. Well, with Jacob, I think we need to note this, that he started out really bad. But thankfully, his best qualities followed the worst qualities. Just as one who obeys the gospel of Christ, what happens after one comes up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life? Well, they're living the best life possible, and the former life, that sinful life, is left behind, as you see in Romans 5, 13 through 21. Now, when Jacob was at his worst, don't think that he didn't receive some discipline, as, yes, he took advantage of Esau and deceived his father, but his bad behavior was not rewarded by God. Obviously, as you see, Jacob and his mother Rebekah, after their separation, likely never saw one another again. And two, Jacob was deceived by his father-in-law Laban while he was in exile for 20 years. Genesis 29 through 31. Remember that? And three, Jacob was deceived by his own sons into believing that Joseph was dead. Genesis 37, 23 through 35. But here is where we want to focus on Jacob becoming a godly leader. Yes, and this would be Genesis 28, 10 through 22. And as you focus in here on Genesis 28, you'll see in verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and ascending and descending on it. So this is when Jacob went out of Beersheba and went toward Aram, and he was taking stones and put them for his pillows, verses 10 and 11. So he's now dreaming, you see. And in this dream that God gave him, obviously, there's similarity to what we see in John 1, 51. And he saith unto them, Jesus did, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Quite similar, isn't it? So as this ladder seen in Jacob's dream was connecting earth to heaven, Jesus is the only way by which we can reach heaven through God's saving grace in giving his only begotten Son to shed his precious blood on the cross, the cruel cross of Calvary, and our obedience to the gospel of Christ and contacting his saving blood. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way to God, the only way to God the Father in heaven. In John 19, 33 and 34, you can see Jesus shed his precious blood in his death, and we're able to contact that precious blood as we are baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6, 3 through 6. And notice Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Of course, we're saved by God's grace. We don't earn salvation. No, we cannot merit the death of Christ on the cross, but we do something in order to obtain salvation. We're submitting to the gospel of Christ, and we're washing away our sins in that watery grave as Saul did, the Apostle Paul, in Acts 22, 16. But now let's notice Jacob was at his best when he learned, number one, to appreciate that the relationship between heaven and earth is closer than one might think. As he's seeing this ladder, it's set on the earth, but the top of it reached to heaven. So he's understanding this now. Now notice verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Jacob was at his best when he learned to appreciate God's goodness. Now notice verse 14, And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Jacob was at his best when he appreciated his relationship to the world. It's going to be through his descendants, just like God said to Abraham, that through thy seed all nations shall be blessed, Genesis 12:3. Now it's Jacob, the grandson, through his descendants, yes, all nations shall be blessed because Christ is in the seed line here, starting with Abraham. You see that with God's promise. Number four, Jacob was at his best when he learned to appreciate what it means to have a good understanding of God's purpose for his life. Verse 15, And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Yes, Jacob learned to appreciate what it meant to a good understanding of God's purpose for his life. He was at his best. And he was at his best when he learned to appreciate the fellowship with God in the house of God. Verses 16 and 17. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? How awesome. In other words, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He appreciates that. And he's at his best. The city of Bethel, that means the house of God. And sixth, Jacob was at his best when he learned to appreciate God's blessings, yes, with a grateful heart. Notice verse 20, And he vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, then I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Yes, he learned to appreciate God's blessings with a grateful heart. And finally, number seven, he learned to appreciate the blessedness of giving liberally. This is when Jacob was at his best. As he said, In this stone, verse 22, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that shall give me, notice, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So we see qualities of good leadership here with Jacob. And I want us to notice, with the time left, verses that summarize the life that he lived. Genesis 31:42, Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, hath been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesterday night. Yes, Jacob had a hard time with his father-in-law, did he not? Now notice 32, chapter 32 of Genesis, verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. Now I am become two bands. His family had increased. Genesis 33:11, as Esau and Jacob reunited, and Jacob said, Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Genesis 35:3, And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Genesis 47:9, And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Chapter 48, 15 and 16. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel, capital A, which redeemed me from all evil, bless thee, lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. In all the characteristics that we've studied about Jacob as a good leader, the most important tribute we could give to Jacob is in this fact that God fulfilled the promise that he gave him. Genesis 28, 13 through 15. And yes, sir, we see that Jacob, yes, he's in the seed line of Christ, Matthew 1, 1 and 2. We should have a good understanding now as to why do we follow the life of Jacob instead of Esau. How unfortunate for these twin brothers to be so different in their appreciation of spiritual things, as Esau lacked completely, while Jacob excelled. This is why it's such a great study for leadership and seeing the proper example, the good example, the godly example that Jacob left us. But the bad example, the ungodliness of Esau, such a poor example. But we need to see that and avoid it in the eldership, of course, today of the Lord's church. Now we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We need to study from God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. We need to note that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior. We must believe that. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8, 24. Now we're ready to repent, making a change of wills. Well, we're going to do the will of God, getting out of a life of sin, and going forth in the right direction. Yes, as we note in Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now we're ready to make the good confession. This is unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We're going to state that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others. Now we're ready to be baptized. For the reason, why are we being baptized? Well, it's a command for one thing, but this is where we contact the precious blood of Christ. As he shed his blood in his death, John 19, 33 and 34, now we're being buried into his death by baptism. Study Romans 6, 3 through 6. Here is where the old sinful man is staying behind, because the blood of Christ is washing away the sins of that person under the watery grave. Then they come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And then what happens? The Lord adds them to his body, the true church, Acts 2, 47, the church of Christ, where we need to remain faithful, even if it would mean our death. Revelation 2:10, we'll have the victory. We thank you so much for listening today.